this reminds me of my first experience in radio. It was back in the early 80s.
People with disability and mental health.
There's always controversy with us.
The mysteries of the mind and consciousness.
And we might get to the bottom of something, or we might start something new.
We're going to run the gamut and we're going to have a good time.
Waking Braves. No, not Waking Braves. We're Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves?
Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves.
Breaking Waves on Eastside 89.7. I'm your host, Alex Healy. Happy Monday evening. It's 6 p.m. and we're diving into stories shaking things up, starting with the Formula One Grand Prix hitting Melbourne this weekend. What's happening beyond the track? And we'll chat about a new breakthrough that could change the way we travel. Flying cars. A dream, skipping Sydney traffic. Are you kidding me? Is it a game changer or total chaos? And the North Sydney pool drama. Who's paying for the $58 million budget blowout? Thanks, North Sydney Council. First, let's play some Tommy Richmond, Million Dollar Baby, here on Eastside. This weekend is maybe the most exciting weekend of the whole year. If you follow Formula One, you know what I'm talking about. And if you don't follow F1, you can shut the radio off now. Jokes, please don't. We have the first race of the 2025 season, the Formula One, the Louis Vuitton Australian Grand Prix. Lewis Hamilton, surely you've heard of that name. He is the 7-time world champion. And his first race for Ferrari, he's been at Mercedes for years. His first race is going to be in our home country. And a lot of people would agree that we're pretty damn lucky to have the first race of the season in Australia, because Formula One generates a lot of money for the Australian economy. Well, when I say Australian, I mean specifically Victoria, but then also Sydney's economy will be benefiting from this, because you don't fly halfway around the world to just go to Melbourne for one weekend. No. But last year, the event generated $268 million for the Victorian economy and created 1,149 jobs. And if you're thinking, damn, why don't we have the Grand Prix in Sydney? Well, that's a great thought. The FIA, which is the International Federation for the F1, they asked Sydney years and years and years ago, before it even like came to Australia. They asked Sydney first if we could host the Grand Prix, and the mayor or whoever turned them down was like, nah. And so they went to Melbourne. If you want to learn a bit about F1, then check out their Netflix documentary, Drive to Survive, their latest season, season 7, which was on the 2024 F1 season. That came out on Friday. Very, very exciting. They started it in 2019. And that brought so much attention to the sport. And the best part is over 40% of viewers are females. And not to, you know, narrow that viewership down to one factor. Just look up Charles Leclerc, Ferrari driver. The girls who get it, get it. And you can thank me later. So tune in this Sunday, the 16th at 3 p.m. to watch the Formula One Louis Vuitton Australian Grand Prix. You can watch via KO and Fox Sports, which is available via Foxtel and Foxtel Now. Okay, of course I had to have the F1 theme song playing in the background. It is such a good theme song. Brian Tyler, the conductor, incredible musician. But let's take it back. I'm feeling a classic song, some Bonnie M. This is Sunny on Eastside 89.7.
Really easy.
let's talk about the North Sydney Olympic pool. It's not just making waves. It's drowning in controversy. It is so frustrating. The council's $64 million upgrade has blown out to a staggering $122 million. That is $58 million more than they projected, than they planned. And now ratepayers are footing the bill with, wait for it, an 87% rate hike over the next 2 years. This means residential rates could jump from $715 to $1,200, whilst business rates could hit $1,400. Now, locals, being myself as well, furious, are absolutely furious. Some are calling the council resignations, saying they never got a real say in the project. I personally didn't. I mean, I didn't receive a letter. I didn't receive like an email saying that this was going to happen and that my rates would go up. No, nothing. And it's not just North Sydney paying. Residents from Cremorne, Neutral Bay, Crow's Nest, they'll all feel the pinch too. So who's to blame? Mayor Zoe Baker says the previous council rushed into contracts before finalizing designs. Well, that's smart. Aren't you supposed to be fully grown adults? I'm 23 and I would do a better job. Like before, I would spend time actually telling the residents what's happening, because let's just remember, we're in a cost of living crisis right now. Okay, there are residents who, yes, they live in their areas and they are affluent areas, but they are still people with mortgages who actually will struggle to pay these rates. And during council meetings, many voiced concerns about the financial burden, especially on elderly and low income earners. So where is this 87% rate hike coming from over the next 2 years? Like, why is it happening? So the factors apparently contributing to this overrun include structural steelwork delays, unresolved variations, and new fit out requirements for commercial spaces. Bro, this is a pool. Why is it going to cost $122 million? And also, why, how did a bunch of people in council, it makes sense, it's politics, but how did so many people mess up? How did so many people financially mismanage this situation? I don't know one resident in these areas, North Sydney, Neutral Bay, Cremorne and Crow's Nest, that is happy to pay this 87% rate increase. But obviously we don't have a choice. I mean, people, so many people, countless, have voiced against this. And yeah, they're still going ahead. So thanks, North Sydney. It's not extremely well known now, but when people start getting billed, they'll be like, hang on, what in the world? I've never used this pool in my entire life. Why am I paying for this? You could literally build your own pool with what you're going to be paying over the next 2 years. So if you're considering moving to North Sydney over the next 2 years, have a little think about that. Rethink, I suggest. It is a beautiful place, but clearly the council is just not well managed. On a more exciting note, on the very other side of Sydney, there is an exciting new project that started. It's a $700 million indoor ski resort. Very exciting. And obviously the first thing I checked was, is this privately funded or government funding? So thankfully, Indoor Sports World is privately funding this $700 million project, although it's received support from government officials such as the New South Wales Premier. But it'll be great because it's going to create more than 1,300 tourism jobs and inject around $222 million annually into the local economy. And if you're a snowboarder or a ski enthusiast, don't get too excited because it's not going to open until 2028. That is if, you know, the construction runs smoothly. It is a massive building, absolutely beautiful, in the Riverlink Tourism Precinct of Penrith. And there is a competition venue, a 170-room hotel, mountainside cafes, and a 300-meter advanced open ski run. I think this is great. because we won't have to wait for those precious weeks in winter where there's enough snow in Thredbo and Perisher. Last time I was in Thredbo, they were taking the snow from the top of the mountain, well, not the very top, you know, and putting it at the bottom because there it was no snow. It was just nice grass and it was winter. I mean, mind you, this was like a few years ago, which was literally the last time I went because I just didn't go back after that. So I'm so excited for this to open. If you're a dog owner and you live in and around Bondi, Dog Latteria, go check this place out. It's Australia's first gelato cafe for dogs. How cute is that? If I did not have a dog, I'd be thinking, what's the point of this? But I have one and all I want to do is just like swirl him. So there's literally a play area in the backyard of the cafe and all people in Bondi like take their dogs to go on play dates there. I think that is so cute. So go check that out. They're open 7 days a week from 7 to 5 on Bronte Road. This is not sponsored. I've just taken my dog there and he had the best time. Makes me sound super lonely saying I'm taking my dog on play dates, but he deserves the world. I absolutely love my dog. And you know what's really interesting? New research from Compare the Market has revealed more people are opting for pets over children. For it. This is with Gen Z and baby boomers in particular. And the big factors into opting for fur babies over human ones are dogs cost less and are easier to feed, educate, and get care for. You don't have to sacrifice your career to raise a dog. And surprisingly, a lot of millennials and Gen Zers prefer the company of a dog rather than a child. So that was new research, came out in November last year from Compare the Market. You're listening to Breaking Waves on Eastside. This is You and Me, remix by Flume. We'll be right back. are Breaking Waves on Eastside. All right, listeners, buckle in, because we're about to dive into the future of transportation. Yes, no joke, flying cars. This is a dream come true and a nightmare at the same time, because it sounds like something straight out of Back to the Future. But Alf Aeronautics is making this dream a reality. I'm talking about their brand new flying car, the Model A, which is causing quite the buzz on social media. Now, it's not just some sci-fi fantasy. Alf's flying car actually drives on roads like a regular vehicle. Then, wait for it, it can take off vertically and soar above traffic like a drone. We're talking about a fully electric vehicle with a 200-mile driving range, and mile because it's American, and a 110-mile flying range. That's 321 kilometers driving range and 177 kilometers flying range. I can't even begin to comprehend the chaos that this will cause, having air traffic above the roads. I don't see it ever coming into effect legally in Australia. Or if it is, it's going to be like 10 years into the future when they're able to somehow put up like massive, like, how can they put up roads and lights in the sky? Like, no, they can't, because somehow you have to like the Jetsons, you have to like actually have lights so that cars aren't flying everywhere and crashing into each other and then falling down and crashing onto the cars on the road. That's just the first issue that comes to mind. But imagine if you could drive to your destination or fly there if there's traffic. The Model A uses 8 rotors that help it lift off and hover. And the Alf Aeronautics has already gotten over 3,000 pre-orders. So yeah, people are pretty excited about this. And it's starting at $300,000. So that makes it $483,000. So, I mean, if you have $483,000 lying around, feel free to hop over to their website, alf.aero. However, there is nothing Australia's stance on this. This is all happening in America, specifically, of course, Silicon Valley. A flying car prototype just got an airworthiness certificate from the FAA, which is the Federal Aviation Administration. So, in short, this is a 4-person drivable flying sedan. And the team sees introducing this upcoming Alf Aeronautics flying car in 2035. I don't see the Australian government approving this. Driving can be dangerous as it is, with people driving under the influence or driving on their phones. To then throw flying cars into the mix, that is free rein for people to cause absolute carnage and chaos. And let's not forget that devastating terror attacks occur. If a flying car gets into the wrong hands, it only takes one person. They can fly wherever they want. What happens there if they fly into Centrepoint Tower? Not everyone has access to an aeroplane. Not everyone has access to getting their pilot's license, and it also costs a lot of money. So if this ever does come about, which they said projected for 2035, so 10 years, I would see the government honestly putting a very, very, very hefty price on getting a flying car license and a lot of screening, like mental health screening, education, background, everything. Because one flying car into the wrong hands it would just be absolutely devastating. It's time to finish the show off on a nice note with Miss Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars. Their song won Best Pop Duo / Group Performance at last month's Grammy Awards. This is Die With A Smile on Eastside.
I just woke up from a dream. You and I had to say goodbye, and I don't know what it all means, but since I survived, I realized wherever you go, that's where I'll follow. Nobody's promised tomorrow, so I'm gonna love you every night. Like it's the last night, like it's the last night. If the
right next to you. Next to you. Right next to you.
Been listening to Breaking Waves here on Eastside 89.7. I'm your host, Alex Healy. Have a great week, and don't forget to tune in to the Formula One Australian Grand Prix this Sunday at 3. And hopefully we'll see our local Melbourne boy, Oscar Piastri, driving for McLaren, take out first place. Good luck, Oscar.
You're listening to People Powered Radio, proudly supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. The Community Broadcasting Foundation resources community-owned and operated media stations just like this one that connect people and tell vital, local stories so that we all enjoy a more vibrant, inclusive Australian culture and healthy democracy. Find out more about our work at cbf.com.au.